The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I think as many of you know, Buddhism puts a tremendous emphasis on change, on impermanence, transitory nature of things, how things are always changing. But change is not just random, and we're not meant just to kind of be the victim of change or just kind of float along the top of the sea of change and just change. But Buddhist practice also involves changing ourselves. And so most people come because they want some change. One of the changes is not to suffer so much. And many people come to practice because they're suffering in some way and they want to have a change in that. As people get to know themselves better, sometimes we see aspects of ourselves that we'd rather not live with. I remember when I was living in the Zen monastery that I noticed that I had anger. And kind of the philosophy or the approach of the Zen tradition I was in was to practice kind of radical acceptance of what was, not try to change anything, not have a goal. And it just didn't seem quite right. I felt like I was supposed to accept my anger and barrel ahead and be a bulldozer around people and with my anger. And at the same time, I was working in the garden. It was my job. My monastery job was the gardener, and in the garden, I weeded. And I thought to myself, just as we weed the plants that we don't want in the garden, what's wrong with weeding the weeds in my mind? And so then I thought, you know, this anger that I have, it's okay to have it there, but I don't want to, you know, it doesn't do the world a lot of good for me to go around being angry. And so what if I started working on pulling those weeds and not be such an angry person? And so, you know, there's an example of changing oneself, improving oneself a certain kind of way. And then some people come to Buddhism or get a sense that there's not only things to weed out, but there's also flowers to grow and nourish. And so there's potential and capacities we have which are quite beneficial, useful, wonderful, that it's nice to cultivate and develop. And perhaps your generosity or your kindness or your compassion or your patience and different things, maybe it's there a little bit, but you get a sense that it's possible to have this a more regular part of your life and inform your life, support your life much more. And so there's a desire for change, to become a better person, to become someone who has these qualities, become stronger. So personal change is part of, and being involved in a process of personal change is a big part of what Buddhist practice is about. Some people emphasize that if you're too much involved in trying to change yourself and wanting to change yourself, especially if there's a lot of self-ideas about self-identity ideas wrapped up in it, you might be digging your own grave because people get neurotically involved in progress, comparing themselves to others, needing to be different than who they are, feeling because I'm supposed to change into something better, that means what I am now is just horrible. And that shouldn't be at all. And so then people feel bad about themselves. So the whole idea of improving oneself or changing oneself has a variety of potential problems or difficulties, speed bumps that people have to deal with as they go along. But because of the problems, it isn't that we're supposed to give up and not try to change. Even in Buddhist traditions where they don't talk about change, they talk about just radical acceptance. If you watch those people who are practicing radical acceptance of themselves, they change. You can't get around change. You're going to change one way or the other. If the last thing you want to do is to change, and you're going to try your darn best not to change whatsoever, you'll change anyway. You'll get older, your mental capacities will change as you get older. If you're young, they'll go one direction. If you're old, your mental capacities go the other direction. But, you know, things will change. And so part of Buddhist practice is to be involved in making choices to support that change and to help that change in a way that's beneficial for you and for others. So that's a long introduction to what I want to say. And that is one of the things I've learned in my years of practice is that that one of the most useful things for instigating positive, useful personal change, personal healing, is not to address our issues directly, though that's a useful thing to do, but rather to try to cultivate healing or beneficial conditions in our psychophysical being. So, one of the great things that can help us deal with anxiety and fear and anger and many things is if we have a palpable sense of safety, sense of reassurance, and that palpable sense of safety is not just an idea of safety, but the breathing changes, the physiology changes, the heart rate changes. There's a physiological change when you feel deeply safe and contented and at peace in some place. And having that sense of deep sense of safety creates an optimal conditions to let the rest of the system, the mind, your thoughts, your emotions, somehow reconfigure themselves, somehow address themselves, somehow help you kind of, sometimes they kind of, they resolve themselves on their own when you create the right conditions for it. And so part of Buddhist practice, and this is where meditation comes into play, is part of it is not to address our issues directly, but rather put them aside almost. Recognize they're there. Don't repress them. Don't deny them. Don't dismiss them. Some people are neurotically focused on their issues. And bow to them. Say, thank you, my issue. I appreciate you're there. You remind me that I'm human. We all have to have issues, and I didn't get to pick, but I got you, so we're partners. Thank you, and I'm not going to address you right now directly. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to try to cultivate states of calmness, of tranquility, maybe a sense of patience, or states of peace or safety, a sense of safety. Maybe cultivate a quality of loving kindness. Or perhaps simply cultivate a stronger sense of concentration. Develop your concentration, because concentration practice changes the physiology of who we are. And as the physiology changes, then it's easier to address some of these other issues in our lives. So that's kind of the message I wanted to get across today, we're a whole psychophysical system. And if we're addressing things only psychologically or intellectually or mentally or externally in the world, we're missing actually where a big part of the conditioning, big part of where the change can occur, the more deeper change and the transformative change can happen when we somehow are involved in changing ourselves physiologically. And if you keep that in mind, I think that's part of the task of meditation is to create this physiological change, then maybe it's easier to respectfully not be so fixated on the issues and the problems you have and whatever, but to realize you're going to address them indirectly by creating the right container for them, the right conditions for them. I don't know if this is a good example, but it occurs to me right now that a good number of years ago, we had friends who had a young son who, at the age of, I don't know how old, 2 or 2.5, he was already a thug. You know, like this little gangster. Just seemed like this guy's, you know, not going in a good direction in his life. You know, he's going to be in jail before you know it, you know. And we'd go over and do play dates with our kid, and you know he would slug other kids and bite them, and you know, so the parents were kind of concerned. So they went to talk to a child therapist about it and know what they should do. And the therapist said, whenever your son shows his violent tendency, go over to him and shower him with love. And they were a little concerned. Is that going to be positive reinforcement for this behavior, to get rewarded by that? But they listened to the therapist. They did that. And very quickly, the violent behavior disappeared and stopped. So, you know, to create this conditions of safety, of love, of caring. You're not going to reason with a two-year-old, but you create the conditions that allow something different to happen, some different context for something else to be evoked, something else to be settled, something else to happen. And so they offered love. So for you, think about how do you want to be changed in this practice, you might also think about not how you do it directly, but how do you do it indirectly? How do you create the right container, the right environment, inner psychophysical environment? And it's not just psychological, because it's hard to kind of will yourself to have a good psychological environment. But perhaps you can do the things that can create a good physical environment, a physical sense of calm and tranquility and well-being. And that's part of what meditation does. So to be careful with your posture and to focus on your breathing and let the breathing calm you and settle you. And perhaps one of the paramount inner qualities that is the soil for so much beneficial change is whatever sense of safety you can create for yourself in the moment here. And to let that sense of safety or sense of well-being or contentment be nourishing and for you, and take it in, be nourished by it. Be fed by it, and see what happens, see what unfolds in the wake of that. So those are my thoughts for today.